morning and welcome to Pastoral Ministries Updates. My name is Christine Shields. I work in the Pastoral Ministry Secretariat at the Diocese of Orlando. And with me in the studio is Heidi Peckham, who is the Secretary of the Pastoral Ministry Secretariat and the Safe Environment Coordinator for the Diocese of Orlando. We also want to welcome our listeners from the Divine Mercy radio station, WDMC. We have special guests in the studio with us this morning, the parents of one of our Diocese of Orlando seminarians, Tim and Lydia Britton. And the name of the seminarian is Blake Britton. The theme of our program this morning is on vocations and your call in life. So our opening prayer is called a vocation prayer, written by Sister Kathleen Power from the Diocese of Orlando. Loving God, I believe that you have called me to share with others the many gifts you have generously given me. I believe that you are calling me now to dedicate my service to you in return. Today, I offer back to you the gifts of loving service and compassion which you have so generously given to me. Show me the vocation in which I can best bring your love, your power, and your mercy to the people whom you love so much. Amen.
Amen.
And now I'll turn our program to Heidi, who will facilitate the discussion with Tim and Lydia. Heidi?
Thank you, Christine. I have an errant microphone this morning. It keeps wandering away from me. And I do have to say I was up in Ocala last week, and we have listeners up in Ocala, so I want to say hello to them. And we're very glad that you're here again today. And this is an exciting program. You all know that I really like family life, and we have a dynamite couple, and I think they're a great example of the vocation of marriage. And it seems that they have grown a vocation to the priesthood. So I'm really excited to talk to them and have them share their stories with our listeners. And I like to begin at the beginning. So Lydia, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about where you grew up?
Sure. I actually grew up in New Jersey, in Trenton, New Jersey, in the city life, Puerto Rican family, but very devout traditional Catholics.
And what was your parish up there in New Jersey? Is it still there?
St. Mary's Cathedral.
Is it still there?
It is still there.
Oh, good.
It is still there.
You might hear from some other fellow cathedral members, you know, once they hear your
story.
That
would be great. Definitely.
Wonderful. And how did you wind up here in Central Florida?
I actually came initially on retreat, believe it or not. I was one of the youth leaders for the group over there, the youth group, and St. John Vianney Parish in Orlando was hosting a weekend of youth retreat, and we were the community that they called, and they flew us in to give the retreat.
Wonderful.
Once I came, I felt the calling to stay.
Oh, wow. God really did put you here, huh? There was nothing subtle about that at all.
No. It wasn't anything I was expecting either, so.
Excellent. And, now I'm going to call you Blake. Tim, I'm sorry. Tim, tell us a little bit about your growing up.
Well, I was born in Tampa, Florida, and we moved over to Central Florida in Osceola County back in 1968. And my father went to work for Disney.
I've lived here.
I'm, pretty much a native to this area my entire life.
Well, you're a native Floridian.
Yes.
That's great. And if anybody has met Tim and Lydia and know their son Blake, Blake is a carbon copy of his dad.
Yes.
So it's really, really nice.
An updated copy.
An updated. Oh, there you go. New and improved?
Yes.
I don't know. Well, that time will tell, I guess, there. But Tim, can you tell us how you met your lovely wife?
Well, I will tell you, I'm not always proud of it, but
we like these stories. These are good.
I got out of the Marine Corps. I was in Marine Corps infantry, and I was a rough cut. And Lydia was a hard worker, as always. And I was out late with some of my friends one night, and we were drinking and having a good time, and she was working late as a waitress. It was about 3 a.m. We went into Denny's for the Grand Slam.
And you got slammed, huh?
Yes, I did. I walked through the door, and the lady asked us how many people were in our party, and I looked over and I spotted her, and I said, we're going to sit in her section.
So. Oh, I love it. It was love at first sight.
Of course, she didn't have anything to do with me at all.
Oh, smart woman, yes.
It took a few months of convincing, but she finally went out with me after a lot of grand slams.
Oh, I love stories that start like that. Excellent, excellent. And so, Lydia, what was your response to this roughhouse kind of guy coming and sitting in your section?
Honestly, initially when I saw him, I thought he was so handsome. Uh-huh. What a great, but, of course, I was not going to reveal that information to him. And my first impression was, it's almost 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. I don't think I want anything to do with you.
Right.
So I kind of just, put it on the back burner, try to just kind of avoid him at all costs, type of thing, thinking, you know, he was up to no good. And, and time passed on, and he was there faithfully almost every night after that.
Uh-huh.
And so eventually he won me over.
Right.
And
the
I said, okay. I said, we'll go out to breakfast. Uh-huh. I said, not a late date, but we'll go out to breakfast together. And the rest is history.
Excellent. Excellent. So when did you get married?
Oh, wow.
December
1989. Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, thank you for listening to God and moving in that direction. We are very, very grateful as a community. And we'd like for you to share some of your family stories and how in the world did you wind up raising a seminarian? So I'm not quite sure where we want to begin with that. Who did Blake reveal his vocation to first?
Well, I have to backtrack a little bit. When I was pregnant with Blake and I did find out that it was a boy, because of my upbringing, I wanted to initially become a nun as a teenager. And so I felt that I'd never fulfilled that vocation or that calling.
Uh-huh.
And so when I found out I was pregnant with a boy, I just kind of privately, you know, spoke to the Lord and said, I give him back to you. God, make this one a priest.
Uh-huh.
You know, I would be so honored if he would have vocation.
Excellent.
And so in my heart, I truly believed that he would be. And as he grew, it just became part of our vocabulary every day. As he started speaking, we spoke a lot about priesthood and vocation and calling. And then he would just say, hey, Mom, I want to become a priest. And he'd say that already when he was 5-6 years old.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And so I just said, yes, you will. You will.
And it has come to pass. Or almost.
Yes,
not yet.
Yes, not yet.
But he's on his way. Amen. And how about you, Tim?
Well, for me, it came much later.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't aware of that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But until she revealed it to me later. But I actually had a family that had fallen away from the church, and they knew our family very well. And I used to spend time with some of the veterans at the Veterans Hospital in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And there was a former military personnel there that was very ill and passing away. And they asked me to come over to the Veterans Hospital in Tampa and pray with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over there, and I prayed with him. And with just in a few hours of going there with the rosary, praying with him and talking with him, he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went down to the parking lot, and I prayed for a little while, and I sat there. And then God started to talk to me. And at this point, I was still sort of confrontational with God. I wasn't very accepting because I'm a very scientific person.
Okay.
So I'm not really that much. I don't believe that easily at that time, you know.
Right.
So God spoke to me about Blake. And he began to reveal some things to me that had already been taking place that I wasn't aware of because I was still seeing life in man's eyes and not spiritual eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And he began to reveal some things to me. So on the way home, I began to even see more clearly what had been transpiring in our lives and what I was doing God's will, and I wasn't even aware of it.
Right.
And so when I got home, I told Lydia and Blake, my kids know I'm a very serious guy most of the time, so I pulled them aside and I said, listen, we need to really have a very serious family talk. God has revealed something to me. And so they sat down. I began to tell them what was going on, and Blake and Lydia began to just smile and sort of laugh at me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started talking to me and telling me, we've known this for a long time.
Uh-huh.
You know, we were just waiting for God to reveal it to you.
Yeah.
And so
letting you in on the secret.
That's how I came to know. And then all three of us came together at that point.
Yeah. Oh, excellent.
Blake was, what, about 12 at
about
that
12,
point?
About 12, yeah.
That young. Mm-hmm. That young. Yeah. Wow, that's quite amazing. Now, earlier we were sharing some transformative type moments in your great journey to this wonderful place. And Tim, you shared life-changing story about someone just reaching out. Would you like to share that with our listeners, please?
Yes.
About you were going to travel to Australia. You had set your path.
Yes, I had. I got out of the military, and I'm a scuba diver, fisherman. Mm-hmm. My family, I come from a long line of fishermen and divers. And I wanted to go to Australia, and they were in need of my profession. And so I had already done the paperwork and prepared myself to go there. Lydia was right on board. She was a newly a wife that was willing to go with her husband wherever. So she was on board. But we were at a prayer meeting one night at St. John Vianney.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the parking lot. I wouldn't go inside. I stayed in the parking lot most of the time. I didn't get involved. But then Tony Moreno, one of the leaders there at St. John Vianney, found out about my plans and taking Lydia out of the church and going to Australia. And he came out in the parking lot, and it's just a wonderful man. He actually planted the seed that would cultivate into the man I would have to be mm-hmm. to be the guardian of a child with vocation.
Mm-hmm.
And he put his arm around me and began to talk to me, and he told me, he said, you know, Lydia touches so many lives here, and her music mm-hmm. and is so needed here. And she has such a wonderful ministry that started here. And so I went inside with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to feel and see and experience just exactly what she brought to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed it for me. I don't think after that point that I ever talked about Australia again after that night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
See, the Paschal mystery at work in the vocation of marriage. You're being willing to just move from the parking lot inside the door. That's all we need to do sometimes. It's just a couple of different steps, and God will set us on that path so nicely. Also, though, you know, what I did not ask, Tim, you did not grow up in the Catholic faith tradition.
No, I did
could
not.
You,
I grew up
could
Pentecostal.
You share with us? Pentecostal.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
I grew up in Calvary Assembly of God church. It was a Pentecostal church, and I did not play my first game of pool or see a movie till I was 18 years old, and I was in the military.
Uh-huh.
It was a very strict faith.
Right.
So it actually, because of what I referred to as religious repression, it pushed me away from God and the church to a point that when I first left home and I did join the military, I had made a commitment that I would never go back to church again.
Okay.
Yes. So
it was not a life-giving experience.
No,
for
it
you.
Wasn't. It was a smothering right. experience, is uh-huh. the way I, at that time, I felt and the way I described it.
So, and again, I want to get back to Lydia, but tell me, how did you wind up coming into the faith, the Catholic faith tradition?
It actually was a long process and a long journey,
mm-hmm.
Because I came to realize as I wanted, I saw the necessity of the leader of the family. Not to be out front, but to be a solid foundation for her ministry. And when I realized what Blake was becoming, how important it was for me to be that foundation, that protector, the provider, and the leadership in the family. And when I say provider, I don't mean just monetarily. Mm-hmm. I mean the provider of making sure he's where he needs to be, you know, whether it's 2 a.m. adoration or whatever, wherever he needed to be, the provider of that.
So are you saying that your son decided to become a priest before you even became part of the Catholic faith tradition?
Yeah, I was already in the process of becoming,
okay.
but I wasn't committed.
Wow.
I wasn't committed.
How interesting.
Yeah, I mm-hmm. wasn't fully committed because, you know, I'm not growing up in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
I've often told younger ministers in the church when they first start participating that the more you learn about our Catholic faith, the more you realize there is to learn.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Amen. Very, very good. I just have to stop you there because that just so fits in with Bishop Noonan's priorities that he's moving forward with in that enkindling a deeper faith. I think that that's one thing that our church kind of excuse me, has forgotten to let people know that it is an ongoing process. You just mm-hmm. don't do it once and you're not there. It's an ongoing process. And the more you learn, the more you recognize there is to learn. So thank you for saying that. And I do want to bring Lydia back into the conversation. I'm going to have to bring you all back because you have great stories. But tell me, how did you manage this as a wife and a mother? And I need you to tell us a little bit about the other children in your family mm-hmm. as well. This I imagine this must have been a little bit difficult trying to manage all of this with a husband who was not of your faith tradition. Mm-hmm. And I know that we don't hit him over the head. It doesn't right. work that way. But how was that for you?
Well, it was very challenging. Mm-hmm. But I opened my heart to allowing the Holy Spirit to really guide mm-hmm. my decisions. And I prayed just consistently. Mm-hmm. But more than anything, I tried to lead by example. Mm-hmm. I never pressured him. I never said, you know, you've got to go to Mass. You've mm-hmm. got to become Catholic. Mm-hmm. What I did was I just tried to live the life. Mm-hmm. You know,
oh, see, and that's what evangelization is all about. I keep telling people, you know yourself, you know your faith, and then you live in joy. Of course, people are going to want to worship with
Amen.
You. That's the evangelization
yes.
piece. People make it so complicated, but it's not. Know who
no,
you are.
Really
know
isn't.
Your faith
mm-hmm.
and live in joy. Oh, I like this. This is great. Okay,
yeah,
we're going to have to. We'll do a continuing one on the new evangelization, good. How it's really based on the mm-hmm. old evangelization. But tell me some of your challenges. Tell us some of your failures, because you know. You know, we connect with one another, not in our great successes, but in our failures and in our learning. It's that Paschal mystery taking shape, being willing. So what were some of the challenges? And maybe you had some embarrassing moments that you could share.
Some of the challenges, I think, more than anything, were like we'd be, you know, myself, I'm so active in the church, and everyone knew me for that position. And then my husband would show up, and he'd be the rough cut that he describes mm-hmm. being. And then he'd just say some off-the-wall thing that had nothing to do with what we were doing at that moment. And I'd be like, okay. By the way, he's not Catholic yet.
Right, okay.
I always threw in the yet.
Yeah, right.
You know? things like that. But I think the most challenging part was really raising the children with the faith, mm-hmm. even though Dad had not been completely aboard yet.
Right.
You know, we did agree on that. We did agree that the children would be raised Catholic.
Excellent.
And so, but I felt strongly that the example needed to come from us as a couple, mm-hmm. that, you know, the Catholic family, the entire family needs to
right.
be able to practice. And so that was a great challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
So when he finally decided and came to me of his own free will
uh-huh.
and said,
oh, come on. Didn't you promise him cake or ice cream or something? Come on now. Really? Every once in a while, we do have to
entice
a little
bit. I didn't bribe him, but, you know, but I was so pleased. But he did come to me of his uh-huh. own free will and said,
excellent.
He said, listen, I went to the church today and I spoke to our pastor, Father Jose Bautista.
Uh-huh.
I told him that I needed to get signed up for RCIA.
Oh,
and they did
right.
it. And he said, here's the application.
And then you baked a cake for him.
Then
gave him his favorite
I baked
meal.
A
there
cake
you go.
And had a big party and the whole works. Absolutely.
Oh, good. Oh, good. So we got a little kudos to Father Jose as well.
Absolutely.
That's always good down there at St. Catherine's. Something passed through my head, but it went right through, so I'll stop.
Okay.
I'll go. Did you have any particular family traditions that you think helped bring Blake's vocation to the forefront?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I think, first of all, in our family traditions, we always pray together.
Uh-huh.
We always prayed as a family. Uh-huh. We weren't ashamed to pray in public or anything
that. And what did that look like? Did that happen in the car or did that happen around the kitchen table? Or
it happened
where did it happen?
It happened
like where?
At night before bed.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in the morning on the way to school.
Uh-huh.
It happened, you know, it happened in while we were traveling.
Uh-huh.
It happened
and what would some of those what would some of those prayers sound like?
Oh, some of those prayers would just be like, God, get us through the day.
Uh-huh. I mean, there you go. See, you know? That's what I want people to know. Praying
yes.
is not a difficult thing. I get a time prayer that every morning when I put on my watch, it's a simple prayer, but I just say, mm-hmm. God, let my time be your time. And that's, it just kind of sets it up. Sometimes people think praying is this big holy thing. It's not. It's inside you. So that's great. How about you, Tim? What are some of the prayers that you sneak in there?
Well, I think one of the most important aspects of his growth together as a family was when we were out in the restaurants, and it would be very noisy and congested, and we would join hands
mm-hmm.
and pray before we ate as a family. And as a family of six,
uh-huh.
you get heard.
Yeah.
And the attention around, you know, the sign mm-hmm. of the cross and the prayer.
Yeah.
And I think that had a great impact on not only my family, and showing mm-hmm. your faith
yeah.
in public, but then those around us.
Right.
You know, I noticed right away you would see people stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and they're
even
paying
there
attention.
In that congestion, you saw the reverence
mm-hmm.
by people that weren't even involved in the prayer.
Right.
And I think that's good exposure for the children and the family mm-hmm. as well as those around you. So
right.
I think that was a big part, something that simple.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And that, to me, that's that new evangelization. As long as you don't get upset when the kids make spitballs and screaming,
exactly.
you know.
I do that a lot.
Right.
Exactly.
Oh, I have to stop him from doing
right,
that.
Right, right. I know. My husband taught our kids how to do spitballs. I said, oh, my goodness, what's doing it? But again, just on that parenting note, too, excuse me, I do have to say that one point in our life, I recognized that we were doing something good as parents when we went out to dinner at a Chinese restaurant, and we got one of those little poo-poo platters,
mm-hmm.
and the kids all knew what the other one wanted. And
wow.
I thought, wow, we're doing something right. Those
you're connected.
Kids, yeah, the kids mm-hmm. knew, and they said, oh, DJ, you're going to like that. That's a steak. Oh, Brett, you like the shrimp. You're going to like that. Oh, Kim, you're going to. So it was like, oh, yeah, that's a good thing. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I was there's another story I would love to share that something Blake did when he was around 12 years old that really had a big impact on my life.
Wait a second. Am I going to be in trouble with Blake after you
no,
tell the
no.
story? Okay, good.
He loves his story.
Okay, good.
So we were at a Friday night youth group, and they have all-night adoration.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there with him, and I had already, I get up for work like 4:30, 5 o'clock. I was mm-hmm. exhausted. We're sitting there, and they're signing up for all-night adoration, and they start taking the time slots.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm sitting there, and I see, 7 p.m., 8 p.m., 9 p.m., and I'm like, okay, this is cool. But Blake's not moving. So I go, son, I lean over to him. I said, hey, listen, all the good spots are going to be gone.
Right. Said, yeah, get a good one.
You need to get on up there and get us a couple good spots. And he's like, that's what I'm waiting on. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, I'm waiting to see what hours Christ might be alone.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And, that changed my life mm-hmm. to this point. It's something he did to me that mm-hmm. I took him there to foster his vocation.
Oh.
And then he impacted yeah. my life with that simple statement. And then mm-hmm. just recently when I went on a men's retreat in Pennsylvania, they were all signing up and the guys are fighting over. There was 126
right.
men.
Well,
they're all
uh-huh.
fighting over those good
yep.
slots. And I'm sitting uh-huh. there and Raymond, a friend of mine that I took with me, he said, Tim, we got to get the good slots.
You know?
And I said, no, we're going to wait and see what hours Christ might be alone.
Oh,
and so me
wait.
And him were in there around 2, 3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it was incredible. It was
yeah.
just an awesome experience. And, that was great.
See, I think maybe we might need to start talking about the family vocation, because that's where your son was raising you up.
Right.
Exactly.
And I like to talk about the vocation of marriage, where we raise one another up. Our vocation gives us that grace, this sacramental grace to bring out the good in one another. And here
yes.
it is, we're learning from our children if we'll only be open. So my hat goes off to you, Dad, because a lot of times dads don't listen to their kids, but he's a good teacher. Well, we've almost run out of time. Is there anything in particular that you would like to say to our listeners about the vocation of marriage, the vocation of priesthood, or the vocation of family?
I would just like to say that, it's really I think that what worked for us as a family is in our marriage and as a family is to really be good listeners.
Uh-huh. Excellent.
It's hard to listen sometimes because you have so many thoughts going through your head that you want to intervene with. But the skill of listening is so important in keeping the lines of communication open.
Excellent.
So you can foster one another's vocation, whatever that might be.
Excellent.
And that's what I would say. It's just, let's be good listeners and really listen to what your family members are saying and feeling.
Great. Thank you.
There's
Tim?
Something I would like to share real quickly to the young fathers out there
mm-hmm.
with children is a lot of times I was in a position where I had an opportunity and I was making a large sum of money, good money, and I gave that up of my own free will to support her, the church, and the vocation. And I would say that a lot of times in my mind I said that I'm good. I don't need God. I'm strong. I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then I came to realize what God had done for me in my life, and that we have a commitment as men mm-hmm. to support the community, support our pastors, support our wife and children and be there. And no bad can come from good. Getting up and going with the family, being there and supporting the community and the church, only good can come from that. So,
Excellent. Well, thank you. You two have been blessing to us here this morning, and I'm sure you're going to continue to be such a great blessing to the diocese. Thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you so much. And God bless.
Thank you. Christine?
There is a convalidation and marriage enrichment session in Spanish on Saturday, May 18th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Church of the Resurrection in Lakeland. To register, please call Elvira at the parish at 863-646-3556. Haitian Ministries is having a fundraising event on Friday, May 24th at the Holy Trinity Reception and Conference Center in Orlando. For more information, please call the Haitian Ministry Office at 407-246-4922. And next weekend is a busy weekend in the Diocese of Orlando as we will have our ordination services, the Vesper service the night before on Friday night, May 24th at 6:30 p.m. at St. James Cathedral, and then the ordination service Saturday morning, May 25th at 10 o'clock a.m. at St. James Cathedral. Please join us to celebrate and pray for our new priests. Tune in next week as we will have Mary McDaniel from San Pedro Spiritual Center and one of her star summer counselors, Robert Pike, talk to us about the summer camp program at San Pedro Center, so you don't want to miss it. Thank you, and God bless you.